Back on January 1st, 2021, the law regarding legal marijuana in New Jersey took effect. Governor Murphy signed the legislation to cease marijuana possession arrests and license retail sales in the law February 22nd of 2021. How has the state done so far as implementing what was certainly called for by a vast majority when the issue was a ballot question? We're here to take a look at the current state of affairs regarding legal marijuana in New Jersey, the policies behind it, the reactions by elected leaders both in the state and local levels, is the political director for Normal, Morgan Fox. Thanks for being here today, Morgan.
Thanks for having me.
And website is N-O-R-M-L, normal.org. When you look back, 2021, 2022, the hopes were high as far as how fast an industry would grow. Certainly the politicians look at the revenue that would be received. If you look at other states, tax revenue alone ranges between the tens to hundreds of millions of dollars. How has the rollout and how has the growth trend been for the industry here in New Jersey?
Well, I think it's important to look at it from a non-industry perspective first. So in many ways, the implementation has been very successful, especially when you're looking at the overall decrease in the number of simple possession arrests that have been made for cannabis, as well as the fact that adult consumers now have safe and reliable access to cannabis as opposed to necessity going through the underground market. Unfortunately, though, one of the trends we saw is that a number of localities have decided to ban the opening of cannabis businesses within their jurisdictions. And this not only creates problems for legal access, but helps facilitate the continuation of the underground market. Between these local bans and the relatively high cost of staying in compliance with this heavily, heavily regulated industry and being able to pay the relatively high tax rates at both the state and local level and some of the taxes necessitated by outdated federal policies, we're seeing a situation where costs for consumers are still very, very high. And there's a subset of the consumer population who worry about price at the register more than a lot of other factors and sometimes more than any other factor. So this really is hampering the ability of the licensed market to really be able to make as much intrusion into the overall cannabis market as it could otherwise.
That's been the confusing part for me because the stated purpose of doing the legalization was to bust down and break down the street market. But with all the elements that you just said, New Jersey has among the highest prices for legal marijuana in the nation. If I'm going to be able to, if I want it and I can get it cheaper on the street versus a retail outlet, where am I going to go?
Yeah, I mean, most cannabis consumers would prefer to go to a licensed, regulated store. It's a safer environment. They have better product variety. They know the product that they're getting has been tested and quality controlled. But again, some consumers are really concerned about the price point. And this is one of those odd situations that it's very difficult to convince lawmakers that by actually lowering taxes, they'd be able to generate more revenue in the long run. That concept has a very difficult time sinking into a lot of politicians. But it's something that the state absolutely needs to look at, and really every state cannabis market needs to consider. Between the high barriers to entry, the high cost of regulatory compliance, and the high tax rates, there are a lot of things that the state can do while the federal government, unfortunately, is dragging its feet on making substantive changes that would make these businesses a lot more successful and help them survive and thrive and help further displace unregulated operators.
I often wonder, too, is the regulatory process for cannabis businesses full of redundant laws that already exist in other shapes and forms for the food industry, for example? Anyone that produces a consumable, is the cannabis business just being placed under a heavier burden because of whether it be stigma, the unknown, the uncertain, the unsure?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a tendency among lawmakers and policymakers, especially when they are initially getting into the job of regulating the cannabis market, to try to regulate it like plutonium. what we've seen generally in most states is that as time goes on and regulators get more comfortable and are able to learn from the best practices of other states, that they often get simplified. Whether or not that's going to be the case in New Jersey, I think remains to be seen, but there's clearly already a lot of people calling for that.
Talking with Morgan Fox, who's a political director with Normal, NORML.org. That is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Would a solution be more outlets? If you look at the last stats of the 2,084 applications that have been submitted since 2021, only 679 are pending. It seems like the approval process, and you mentioned some communities just to close the door. The other day I heard the mayor of Atlantic City. He basically wants to make the hurdles even higher for one to open. Now, you can make an assumption maybe the casino industry doesn't want it there, and they're trying to, and they're reminding the mayor that, remember, who's paying your bills around here? I mean, the behind-the-scenes mysteries can create what we're seeing as far as the lag times and even the refusals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why the casino industry would be opposed to allowing cannabis stores. Not only do you get the tourism factor, but also Las Vegas has one of the most vibrant and thriving cannabis markets in the country, as well as within that individual state. So I think that if any local Atlantic City leadership are thinking along those lines, they might want to revisit their rationale. Opening up more stores, and especially by lowering the barriers to entry to be able to get an approval for a license, would be, I think, a dramatic improvement, both in terms of consumer access, but also in terms of job creation.
Now, with that in mind, too, there is a provision in the legalization law that requires cannabis businesses to allow workers, not formulate it, but to allow workers, if they choose to unionize, to do just that, and enter a labor peace agreement within 200 days. You mentioned all the elements of the industry that causes high costs in the retail side. That would certainly put up costs then, too, because of salary demands and various other burdens and requirements that come with unionization.
Well, honestly, though, I think that worker protections are something that are very important. And, while Normal doesn't necessarily support closed shops, at the same time, we do support the rights of workers to be able to organize and be able to protect themselves and get policies put in place that are beneficial to them. Now, that being said, I don't think that we should trade, worker compensation or other sorts of employee support simply to lower overall costs when there are so many other methods that we can pursue in order to help bring those costs down.
Maybe this is one of the elements that creates a problem, too. We have here in New Jersey the Cannabis Regulatory Commission. Problem is, they can only recommend where funds should go within the program and the policies. It's a state legislature that's in charge of appropriating those funds during the budget process. So it's a matter of the legislature is listening to one group of people. We apparently have the Cannabis Regulatory Commission. They have their hearings, and they hear probably more a full spectrum of views and can come to a more educated conclusion. Is it just as simple as getting both those sides on the same page that we can see things get more streamlined and more user-friendly for those who want to be a part of the cannabis business?
Yeah, I think lawmaker cooperation and working together with the regulatory agencies is absolutely key if you want to be able to institute good policies for the best long-term health of the program. As we talked about before, though, getting lawmakers to pass policies that are going to mean less money potentially coming into the program through various fees and application charges and taxes can be extremely difficult. But it's something that they really need to be looking at through the lens of these regulators and the businesses that are being regulated and they're suffering right now. But also, they need to be looking at this from the consumer perspective as well. And I think that ignoring the fact that there is a significant portion of the consumer base that is more concerned about price than anything else, ignoring the fact that there are lots of people out there that would prefer to grow small amounts of their own cannabis, which not only doesn't have any measurable impact on the actual sales numbers of the industry itself, but also provides almost like a micro-incubator training program at very low cost so that people can develop the skills necessary to be able to succeed in the burgeoning cannabis industry. So just changes like that would be relatively simple to make if lawmakers were paying attention to businesses and consumers and regulators a little bit more closely.
When you look at the timeline, too, I mentioned that everything was signed into law back in 2021. This really is the infancy of a new industry. If you look at other states, Washington State, for example, which their revenue off of the industry is phenomenal. They might be leading the nation as far as tax revenue, for example. Is it a matter of just time and getting bearings straight? Would everything just normally set itself once everyone has more time to look at everything? Trial and error, yeah. Understanding more better, certainly. But it's just a matter of we're in the early days, believe it or not, just even referring to 2 years as early. But when you look at how much longer other states have had legal marijuana and the success they're having, maybe 5 years after the signing into law in New Jersey, might see a different picture.
Well, every state's a little bit different when it comes to their success at implementation and what their timeline looks like. But you're correct. Time can sometimes be a factor, and like with any new regulatory structure, there's going to be a little bit of growing pains. But I think it's important to remember that while this legal and licensed industry may be new, the cannabis market is not new. And very rarely do we have situations like this where a new industry is trying to compete with a pre-existing illegal market. And so those sort of things have to be taken into account when regulators and lawmakers are looking at ways to improve the programs. But by now, we have 23 states that have made cannabis legal for adults, 38 that have legalized for medical purposes, and many of them for over a decade now. So I think it's really important to let lawmakers use the excuse of, oh, well, we need more time to put off necessary changes indefinitely or for exorbitant periods of time, because there are already so many best practices and so many existing successful programs to learn from.
Get more information and truly a full view of this issue of legal cannabis in not just New Jersey, but Morgan mentioned the various other states, and you can find them more on a state-by-state basis as well. If you're listening on the stream, your state, for example, at normal, norml.org. He is their political director, Morgan Fox. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.